Done so much and accomplished so much. Now, I'd love to ask you a question that I always ask the guests. Tell us about a deal that you've done that you've learned the most from. So it can either be, it was a great deal, it was a horrible deal, your first deal, your most recent one. What's the deal that you learned the most from? You know, what happened, and tell us the details there.
The deal I learned the most from would be the very first one. That would be the one that I said was just a train wreck, or not a train wreck. It wasn't that bad. It was one that was most stressful by far. I mean, that was the two triplexes, and you may want to hear about a syndication. I'm happy to share about one of those as well. But that deal, the two triplexes in the very beginning, that was a massive step for my wife and I to step out and purchase those, to really move in that direction. I did have an investor. So there was a lot of things that were learned, right? You know, start working with that investor. How is this going to be structured? What does this look like? Self-managing all these tenants, learning about the location even after the fact. I did some very poor due diligence. I just didn't do enough market research, things like that. I listened to the realtor, the seller way too much, trusted them way too much. All those things. I trusted the tenants way too much. You cannot be a property manager and manage with your heart. Just got taken advantage of a few times. But even proper due diligence, I did hire a guy that came in and I followed him around every nook and cranny of that place thinking, you know, I'm trying to learn, trying to ask him questions. And he gave me a nice printout of all these things. Here's a few things that need to be looked at or repaired or whatever. But it didn't help me to think through, like, well, how long is this roof going to last? How long are these AC units going to last? Or this driveway? What's that going to cost to fix or replace? And I just did not think about those things enough, honestly. And so we did get out of that deal. We didn't lose any money, but we learned a lot. So we gained a lot. I'm happy to share about a syndication as well, or briefly, or however much time we have.
I love what you said about the triplexes, because that is a logical first step for many people, whether their goals are to own thousands of units through syndication or buy one unit a year, whatever the case may be. Most people explore the route of what about a duplex, a house hack, or triplex or quadplex. And a lot of times, especially some of my friends, or they know I invest, they'll tell me this, hey, I'm looking at buying this place. What do you think? The mortgage is going to be $1,000. The rent's going to be $1,200. Great deal, right? Like, well, you know, you got to look at all the other things, the mechanics of it. So what type of things were you kind of misled by the seller and the realtor, or was it just kind of your own ignorance? You just not ask enough questions, or how could you have prevented getting into, maybe it doesn't sound like it was a terrible deal, but you probably would have passed on that deal if you had all the experience you had now. So what could you have done to maybe give you that insight?
I did not know enough people in the market. I had not networked. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anybody that had been there and done that ahead of me. I didn't have anybody to even ask questions of about the deal, right? I just done my own research, took a few classes, whatever, reading, and thought I could make it work. And I just did not have anybody on my team that was more experienced than I was. Big mistake. No mentor to ask and just to filter things through. I think anybody that had much experience would have said, nah, that's too slim. Pass. Let's pass on it. I remember the realtor saying, like, she made some kind of comment about it being worth 25 more thousand than what I was paying for it. And about all that equity there right off the bat, couldn't get rents that could make it worth that much more. But I did not do enough research on the market, especially the specific part of town. We were actually moving to that town. And so I didn't even live there yet when we bought them. So I didn't understand the market very well. But all I'd say, mentor, market research, those two things alone would have probably saved me a ton of headaches.
One of the phrases I've heard for that is built-in equity. It's worth $200,000 more than you're paying. There's built-in equity already. Like, wow, that's the first time I heard that.
Yeah.
So they'll use that a lot. Let's talk about a syndication too, because there's a lot more components to that. And for the listeners who are looking at syndications, and there's just a lot more moving parts. What deal did you learn the most from that was a syndication?
There's a deal. We're actually selling it in a few weeks, but there's a project that we purchased in March of 20. So you know what happened in March of 20, late March of 20, they shut the country down. So many things about this project. This project was actually brought to us as 216 units. It's in Colorado. And it's like a C-plus type asset. It's a great asset, but it was mid-70s vintage. And when we first saw this project, it was brought to us and we turned it down. And we said, no, it's just not going to work, these numbers. And I can't remember what they were asking, if they were asking 3 or 4 million for it at the time. And we just said, no, it's not going to work. And so I think we made them an offer at like 28. And right now it probably gets you laughed at as far as that big of a discrepancy. However, you still have to stick to your numbers, right? You still have to know what it's going to be worth to you and just stick to it. And we did, we stuck to it. And the deal left, the broker said, no, thank you. And it went under contract with another group at the 33 or 4 million. Well, guess what? A few months later, it falls out of contract. Broker calls us back and says, would you all like to make another offer? We said, well, we'd like to look at it again. Can you send us the current financials? Can we see those things Absolutely. Again? And so guess what? Now we got a couple more months and we got to compare that data with what we had 2 months prior, or 3 months prior. Okay. That told us a lot about the story of this project. And we could see that this property was going downhill. I mean, their vacancies were growing Absolutely. Fast. We did some secret shopping. We went to this property. I'll never forget. We go up to the door. There was a sign on the door that said it opened at 10. It was like 9:55. No joke. We knock on the door. Lady comes to the door and says, we open in 5 minutes. Close the door. All kinds of crazy stuff. It's like, okay, no, there's tons of reasons why they were losing people at this project or why people were not renewing, all kinds of things. There were maintenance issues that just weren't being taken care of. I mean, almost some simple property management stuff that just was not being done. Absolutely. However, that's big value. Right to us. We can fix those things pretty easy. So we did. We came back. We said, okay, we're going to stick to our offer, 28 and a half million. Guess what? We got it for 28 and a half million. We closed that in March and we had $1.5 million in a reserve budget. So we have other operators that invest with us as well, just that are good friends of mine as well. And a couple of them were like, don't you think that's kind of excessive? We want like 6 to 9 months of expenses in a reserve budget from day one. And that is excessive compared to what most do. I mean, most people that I interview say they might have 2 months, 3 months, and then they'll grow it out of cash flow, which I do not like to do. I'd much rather have it up front. And so they would say, Whitney, don't you think that's excessive? And I'd say, you know what? It may seem that way, but we're all going to sleep a lot better. And then don't you know, like a week to 2 weeks later, they shut the country down for COVID. Wow. And so nobody's saying anything about that reserve budget at that point. So we didn't stop any distributions. We didn't miss a distribution. We kept moving forward. Rents did nothing but grow. Vacancy did nothing but go down. Over 1 million pounds of rock at that place and landscaping. I mean, we've done all kinds of things there. But about 3 months ago or 2 months ago now, we received an off-market offer of 45 or 6 million for that place. So know what you're willing to pay for something. And it does not matter what the whisper price is or all those things. Like, take the information and stick to your guns. And actually, we had that happen then. We had it happen again, August of that same year. Okay, a project that was brought to us a few months before, we made an offer, it went away. It was even in a different state. It wasn't the same broker or anything. But then it came back, like, you know, millions of dollar discount, you know, on this same project, it came back. So stick to what you know. Stick to what you know will work. Have a reserve budget. You know, thankfully, we haven't had to use that. But man, yeah, our investors felt so much better when the pandemic hit because we had that. It was crucial.
I love that. So we see that a ton. Most of the time when you're underwriting these deals and somebody's paying way more than you, the models that we use are generally the same, right? They generally take the same information. We all have the same T12 and rent roll to work with. You could get a little or less aggressive, but when somebody's way overpaying for that, you tend to know that something's up. And I tell you, a lot of times those deals come back because halfway down the road, they realize they've overpaid for something and now they got to get out of this. A lot of times, even just for financing purposes, they can't even get the financing at that price. So I love that. Stick to your guns, know what you're about, and don't let the broker kind of sway you or with whispers or whatever their tactics are now.
The instant equity, right?
Yeah, built-in equity. That it's built got tons equity. Of built-in equity, but for some reason we're selling it to you for a discount. So, you had mentioned something that's so important, and this is the last thing I want to touch on: mentorship. You've said that a few times. I was, as well, years ago, the guy who wanted to do it all himself. I turned my nose up at mentor. I thought all these gurus are ridiculous. They just take your money. And mentorship has changed my life and my business, and it sounds like it changed yours too. Do you have any mentorship programs or opportunities that maybe you or your trusted people offer that some people could maybe look into? Because that's a huge missing component that I know if the listeners just took that part seriously, it would catapult their business.
Catapult is the right word, no doubt about it. Think of that ship that's going to a destination that's off 1 degree, traveling for days. Well, guess what? They're way off track, you know, a day later or 2 days later. And that's what that mentor has helped me. So many conversations. I mean, we're good friends now. We're buying the same types of assets in different parts of the country, but still it's very similar businesses. And so that relationship has changed a lot, but would not be where I am now without not only that mentor, but now I have numerous mentors. When I paid for that mentorship, Justin, it cost me $12,500, I think. And at that moment, I mean, that was so much money for my wife and I. We were starting our third adoption process. We knew that was going to be 40 to 60 grand. And we were like, I don't know where all this is going to come from. From our experience with those triplexes too, my wife was hesitant at that point, but she got on board and we did. We paid the 12,500. Now that same mentorship's like 50 grand. Even if it had been 50 grand and I know what I know now, I would have found a way to pay it. I mean, it's so worth it. Not all mentors are created equal. I will say that. I did tons of due diligence. I traveled to meet these people in person. I wanted to make sure I found people in those programs, reached out to them, talked to them. That also helped me from joining probably two other programs that I was leaning towards before I found the guy I wanted to mentor under. Yes, now I offer mentoring, but it's very selective. I mean, I'll do like 3 to 4 people a year. I do not want to be this massive coach. So a couple of things that I looked for is I wanted it to be one-on-one. I wanted it to be somebody that I spoke to directly. Yep. I wanted it to be somebody that I felt genuinely cared about my success. That was just crucial for me. And I also wanted them to be in the business right now. That's not always crucial, but there's lots of people who have been very successful in commercial real estate and they kind of retired and now they're coaching people. And that's fine. They're very experienced, but I just personally wanted somebody that was in the business now, that was doing what I wanted to do. And that was like 5 to 10 years ahead of me in a big way. Is this somebody that like you could see yourself being? Like, do they resemble, you know, what you see in yourself at that time? Because if not, you need to pick somebody else. There's numerous coaches who are just cared about growing their coaching program. And that just wasn't for me.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. I know we're running out of time here and I don't want to keep you. Listeners, if you haven't already, check out Winnie, lifebridgecapital.com. If you also haven't already, download our free ebook, The Definitive Guide to Building Generational Wealth and Passive Cash Flow Through Multifamily Real Estate. Head to thedefinitiveguidebook.com or click the link in the show notes. If you want to partner with us on a future deal or learn more about these opportunities, either as an active or passive investor, look us up at perpetualwealthcapital.com/partner. Winnie, thanks so much for coming on board. How can listeners get a hold of you if they need to?
Thank you, Justin. It's my pleasure. They can go to lifebridgecapital.com. There's a button in the top right, become an investor. You can sign up right there. Or you can reach out to me personally, Whitney@lifebridgecapital.com. Or you can call or text me, 540-585-4338. We'd love to hear from you.
Winnie, thank you so much for coming on. We'll put all of those links in the show notes below as well. So don't feel like you have to write those down. Thank you so much for coming again, Whitney. And thanks to all the listeners. And we'll see you on the next episode.